truth is, we're Blue Nosers from Nova Scotia. Lived in Sarnia, Owen Sound, Toronto, Sarnia again, and then Iowa, Texas, St. Louis, Missouri, Massachusetts, and then Maine. But they never caught up with us once. We're still running. We started a church in Massachusetts, which God blessed, and then we helped one in Maine. But we never forgot where we came from here. And we had friends like Bruce and his sweet bride, and we just feel like we're coming home when we come here. So we're thankful that we are here tonight. Let me just open in prayer for a moment. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Father, for its power. We thank you for its accuracy. We thank you, Father, that it already lays out what's going to happen in our world, even the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that we would fully realize that the Word of God is alive and sharper than a two-edged sword, and that everything we say and do would flow from what we know of the Word of God. And Father, until you come, we pray that we would be found faithful, serving you. And I thank you for this group tonight that came here. And we pray that you bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. In Woodstock, Ontario, our neighbor was a banker to several businesses. He was very successful. He had lots of socializing and entertaining with important clients. Then his wife came to the Lord, and Joan began to disciple her, and she gave her life to Christ. And then I began meeting with him, but he had a problem. He wanted faith without following. He didn't mind having the faith, as long as he didn't have to do anything that he didn't particularly want to do. In other words, he wanted Christ to be in his heart, but he didn't want him to get in his way. And I've met people in here, the States, Europe, and Asia, that have feelings like that, that they want Christ in their heart, but they don't particularly want him to get in their way. Then at Christmas, they had us over for dinner, and he told me, I have a Christmas gift for you. I've truly given my life to Christ. And that included following the Lord, and he has followed the Lord to this day. Here's why he came to the Lord. He came to realize that there's no such thing as faith in Christ without following Christ. And in my ministry in the pastorate, it discouraged me to see so many people that truly did have a born-again experience and had been saved by the blood of Christ, but they weren't doing an awful lot with it. And so that's why in the gospel alone, the Lord says, follow me 19 times. It takes us that long sometimes to get the message. But it must be important for the Lord to say 19 times in the Bible, I want you to follow me. The conclusion, there is no such thing in the eyes of God as faith without following. It's just a natural product of coming to Christ. In fact, our Lord even defines Christianity as following in John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and you know it, they follow me. That's what true Christians do. They follow Christ. And what's the path we follow? Romans 4:12, Paul says, we follow in the steps of faith. In fact, in all the years since Christ died for us, there is no such thing as faith in Christ without following Christ. And I met some people that wanted to invite Jesus into their heart, but they had no plan to follow him or allow the Lord to do his work in their lives. But on this, the Lord is also clear. Following him is never to be from a distance. Now, truthfully, it is tempting to follow the Lord from a distance, but following him closely in the lives that I've seen do that proves our faith and it pleases our God. And our reward, Matthew 5:19, from that is that we will be great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, following Christ closely shows the world where we are, but it also exposes us to the opposition and rejection. So it's tempting to follow him from a distance. I was in the corporate world, and I traveled, and I actually lived in different places in Canada and the U.S., and I was sometimes tempted to not really raise the flag all that much, but God wouldn't let me do that. And I found that when I really, really did do that, I would never follow from a distance again, but I would completely follow the Lord. Joan's sister Debbie, before she came to Christ, she asked, if someone comes to Christ, can they be discreet? Can we follow from a distance? I told her, if you truly love Christ, you won't want to do that. You will want to follow closely. And today she is, and her life is impacting others. In Mark chapter 10, you may remember what Bartimaeus, the blind man, did when the Lord healed him. He began following the Lord on the road. Listen to 1 Peter 2:21. Peter says, "For you have been called for this purpose, to follow in his steps." Bottom line is, there is no such thing in a Christian's life as faith without following. And that, as a pastor and as a preacher, has been a burden to me, to see people believe they have come to Christ but feel no sense to do anything to verify that. You remember what the disciples did in Mark 14 when the Lord was captured in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says they forsook him and they fled. But John was the disciple that Jesus loved. Why? Because he followed him closely all the way to the cross. So John learned it well. There's no such thing as faith in Christ without following Christ. And our following is never to be from a distance. So this evening, in the life of one man, let's look at following God. Let's turn in the Old Testament to Joshua chapter 14, and let's visit a man named Caleb. I love the name Caleb, and I sure loved it more when I read about this man. Caleb was a man who faithfully, fervently, and relentlessly followed his God. Now, if you've ever prepared a resume, you'll know it helps to have good references. I was in the HR side of the business, and that's all I ever looked at was references if we were going to hire somebody. And it's the same spiritually. He has a real resume. So let's listen to Caleb's spiritual references. Reference number one, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 36. Moses is speaking of Caleb, and Moses says he followed the Lord fully. Reference number two, in Joshua 14:9, Joshua says this about Caleb. He followed the Lord God of Israel fully. But reference number three for Caleb came from God himself. Numbers 14:24, "My servant Caleb has followed me fully." Now, I would say, how's that for personal references? I hired a lot of people in my job, and I had good references, but never the ones you see here. They're wonderful. Caleb got them from the right people, too, Moses, Joshua, and God. And all three said the same thing. Caleb followed the Lord fully. You can't look at the Bible, you can't look at Caleb without knowing within a paragraph or two that it says Caleb followed the Lord fully. Now listen to Caleb's personal resume, Joshua 14:8. "I followed the Lord my God fully." In fact, five times in the Bible, we see the words, "He followed the Lord fully," and all five times those words were about Caleb. So let's look at this man who followed the Lord fully, and let's remember our Lord's command in the Gospels, where 19 times the Lord says to his followers, "Follow me." 19 times just in the Gospels, the word says that the Holy Spirit moved and God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, said, "Follow me." Now, as we come to Joshua 14, you may remember that Moses sent 12 men to check out the promised land, but 10 said, "We can't do it. The giants are too big and the cities are fortified." But two others, Joshua and Caleb, they said, "We can do this. We're going to do this." But the people revolted against God. So in Numbers chapter 14, God said, "All the men over 20 years of age will die before Israel enters the promised land. All men except Joshua and Caleb, who trusted God and wanted to conquer the promised land and the giants." So for 45 years, Israel had a lot of funerals for men who never got to go to the promised land. But now as we come to Joshua chapter 14, it is 45 years later, and Israel has conquered the promised land. Joshua chapter 14. They conquered the promised land except for the land of the giants. And Joshua divided the land among the 12 tribes. So let's begin with Joshua chapter 14, verses 5 to 7. Joshua chapter 14, verses 5 to 7. "Thus the sons of Israel did just as the Lord had commanded Moses, and they divided the land." Verse 6 and 7. Then the sons of Judah draw near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea." Then he says, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart." He was spying for Moses. Now in verse 8 and 9, notice how Caleb followed the Lord. Verse 8, "Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully." Verse 9, "So Moses swore in that day, saying, 'Surely the land in which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever.' Why? Because you have followed the Lord my God fully." Then in verse 10, Caleb gives an update on his age and stamina. "Now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years that they weren't allowed to go up the mountain. From the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness, and behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and for coming in." If you want to really feel good about being our age and still having a lot to do, just read about Caleb, because he followed the Lord fully and he had strength now as it was then, and he was a tremendous man. And then in verses 12 and 13, we see Caleb's request at the age of 85. "Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day, years earlier, for you heard on that day that Anakim, which are giants, were there, with great fortified cities." This is what Caleb is saying. "I know what's up there. They're giants, and the cities are fortified." Then he says, "Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken." So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb. He gave Hebron to Caleb, and Hebron was a mess, and it was completely dominated by foreign criminals, I guess, pretty well is what you call them. Now, Caleb was 40 when he brought back the report that said the giants are huge and the cities are fortified. So the people said, "We can't do this. We can't defeat the giants." But 45 years later, at the age of 85, Caleb says, "I will do that. I will defeat the giants. I will capture the cities and drive out the enemy." Then we come to verse 14, where we see the power of God and the blessing of God when someone follows the Lord fully. And as a sidestep, this particular segment of the scriptures had led me to come to the Lord often and wonder, am I truly following the Lord? There isn't anything in a book that we can buy and say, this constitutes fully following the Lord. But the one thing God wants you and I to do is to follow the Lord fully. Verse 14, "Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh and Genizzite, until this day." Why? Because they followed the Lord of God fully. Now remember, Caleb is 85. He wants the city of Hebron. It really belongs to Israel. It's 3,000 feet up above sea level, with giants and fortified closed gate cities. And Caleb wants it. Hebron was also the home of Abraham. It was where Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were buried. I mean, it was all Israel. Hebron was also where David was crowned king of Israel, so it really did belong to Israel. But Hebron was also where 40 years earlier, 10 men of Israel melted with fear because of giants. Sometimes we teach our little kids to sing, 12 men went to spy on, so 10 were bad and 2 were good. Well, these are the 2 good guys. But Hebron, 40 years earlier, had such power that men's hearts melted with fear. But Caleb said, "I want to do it. I want to take it." Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, Paul says the Old Testament was written as an example for us in our instruction. And in Caleb, I believe we see the power of following the Lord fully. If someone came to me and had a pretty good understanding of the Bible literature, but they wanted to know what it looked like to follow Christ, I'd say, go read about Caleb. And in Caleb, we not only see him following the Lord fully, we see the power of following the Lord fully. You see, just as in the Old Testament, you and I are facing giants in our lives. Yes. Depression has skyrocketed. I was in the HR side of most of my career, and things were a little tiny, 1% went to people that are hurting. By the time I left, it was 11% of our entire payroll had to go to people who were scared, people who were in the hospital, but they were still our employees. So we have today, I think we have some giants around. Listen to Caleb again in Joshua 14:8. I followed my God fully. Now that's personal. I say this with reverence. I believed even as a child that God created the universe, the stars, the moon, the earth, and the people. But God's power in the universe meant very little to me until he became my God at the age of 30. And my beautiful bride was 4 years younger, and she came and she surrendered her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believed that we really were following the Lord until I experienced his power in my life. And then Colossians 1:29, his power began working in me in some pretty wonderful ways. You see, to me, God's power out there meant very little until he became powerful in here. God's power as a description of making the earth is a wonderful thing. But what do you do with it after you know that? It's not something we can bring into our hearts. But when God's power is unleashed in here, it really changes our heart. So the question is, how powerful is our God? So look at verse 12 again. Caleb says, now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim, they were big giants, were there, with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken. The amount of soldiers up on that hill were huge. And this man says, maybe I can drive them out. Now notice Caleb says, give me this hill country. I will drive them out. He's saying, I want to do this, but I want God's power to flow through me. There are many things in my life that I want to do, but I need the power of God to do them. So we can be honest, but we need to have the power of God inside us. 40 years earlier, the spies returned and they told of the giants, and the people melted in fear. But listen to the Lord's response, Numbers 14:11. How long will these people not believe in me, despite all the signs I performed in their midst? He's saying, even though there's tens of thousands of people against us, and they own that hill, God's saying, these people don't believe in me. If they did, something would happen. Now, what did the Lord say about the giants? Nothing. Did the Lord say they weren't really 10 feet tall? No. Did he say the giants were not stronger than Israel? No, he did not. The Lord just said one thing. Why don't these people believe in me? That's all that matters. He was saying, forget all that's going on. Why don't they believe in me? Why don't they realize how powerful their God is? You see, Israel's problem wasn't big giants. Their problem was small faith, believing their God was smaller than mortal men. But Caleb says in verse 12, give me this hill country, because Caleb had a powerful God. And he was a lot taller than 10 feet, like the giants. You see, in our lives, when God is magnified, giants are minimized. And the giants we have can be a job that doesn't work. It can be a crisis in our lives. We all have certain things in our lives as Christians that were tough times. So the question is not, how powerful are the giants in our lives? The question is, how powerful is our God? Truthfully, if you and I want to defeat the giants in our lives, that's the first question we must answer. How powerful is our God? Here's the second question we must answer if we want to defeat giants. How fully will we follow him? Now, it's interesting that God and Moses and Joshua all said the same thing. All three in the Bible say Caleb followed the Lord fully. But also remember that all three, God, Moses, and Joshua, didn't just say Caleb followed the Lord. All three of them in the Bible written say Caleb followed the Lord fully. Now, did you know that even as God's chosen people, the Lord never once said that about Israel, not one time. He never said Israel followed me fully. In fact, that's why Israel never fully possessed the land that God promised them. Listen to Joshua 13:13. But the sons of Israel did not expel the Geshurites or the Maacathites, who were the giants. Notice it doesn't say they couldn't. It says they didn't. Listen to Joshua chapter 15, verse 63. Now for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the sons of Judah could not drive them out. Listen to Joshua 17:13. Israel did not drive out the Canaanites completely. The Lord told them they could, but they didn't. Israel followed the Lord, but they didn't follow him fully. And the result? They couldn't drive the giants out of the land. But Caleb followed his God fully, and the giants were defeated. History shows that. The archaeology people show that now. They went up on that hill, and they did the job right. So here's a powerful truth. It is when we follow the Lord fully that his power is truly released into our lives. And that's why Caleb's God was so powerful, because Caleb followed the Lord fully and God's power ignited in his life. You see, the answer to question one, how powerful is our God, depends on the answer to question two, how fully will we follow him? I've seen Christians that have come to Christ and 10 years later they're walking with Christ, but there's not a whole lot of fruit. But I have seen Christians come to Christ and just really turn everything over to the Lord and do amazing things in that 10-year period. We have to say how powerful is our God, but we have to be fully following him, because it's following the Lord fully that ignites the power in his lives. His power will not be unleashed because I've given my life to Christ. It'll be unleashed if I walk with Christ and I seek to do the things of Christ. And I've seen people come to Christ that I would not have thought would ever come to Christ. And it was a miracle, because it wasn't me. It was God that did it. Now, in closing, let's look for a moment at Joshua chapter 15, verse 14. Joshua chapter 15, verse 14. Now, let's look at the result of Caleb following the Lord fully. Chapter 15, verse 14. Caleb, outnumbered 12 to 1, 15 to 1. The numbers that you read in the history books show that it was a tremendous, overpowering army that they went to. Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak, Sheshai and Anaheim and Talmai, the children of Anak. They were the big guys. These were the giants that Israel feared so much. Now, how's that for perseverance? When Caleb was told to do when he was 30, he did when he was 85. He had to hold it for 45 years, but he wouldn't quit. Why? Because Caleb followed his God fully. So if you and I want to defeat the giants in our lives, the first question we need to answer is, how powerful is our God? And I think everyone in this room knows how powerful God is. The second question, a little trickier, we need to answer, how fully will we follow him? There have been times in my life when I've had to stop and surrender everything to him. Why? Because I took some stuff back. We have to be completely surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, completely in the Word of God, completely in prayer, and then look out, because if we got giants in our lives, God will deal with them in one way or another. He may have us have the power to live with them, or that giant might be something personal. Second question we need to answer is, how fully will we follow him? And then we come to the third and final question we need to answer. Do we really believe the promises of God? And if you think I'm trying to make you look, I am the one that I'm worried about in this. Do we really believe the promises of God? Let's look at one more verse, Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. And let's listen carefully to our Lord. Because my servant Caleb has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. You see, Caleb knew that because of unbelief, an entire generation, aged 20 and over, would die in the wilderness, and they did. And he knew that he would be in his 80s when he conquered Hebron. That's how old he was here. But Caleb also knew that God promised that Joshua would enter and possess the promised land, and Caleb believed the promise of God and said, I'm going to do this. So here's the big question. Do we really believe in the promises of God? Do we really believe the Lord when he says in 1 Peter 5:7, we can cast all our cares on him? Do we really believe Romans 15:13? Lord, fill us with all peace and joy as you trust in him. Being filled with peace and joy has been a struggle in my life. And for me, Romans 15:13 is a verse I love and I visit, but it's a place where there's been victory and failure. Do we really believe the Lord when he says, John 10, he came to give us abundant life? And I imagine the answer here for almost everybody in this room is yes, we believe that. Bottom line, do we really believe what our children sing? Do we believe this? My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. We got three daughters. I know that song well, just in their growing up and learning that song. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. Do we really believe the Lord that he can heal any marriage, that he can transform any life, that he can conquer the giants that shut down our abundant life? You know why Caleb defeated the giants in his life? Because his God was powerful. He followed the Lord fully, and he really believed the promises of God. And the starting point, Caleb chose to totally believe God. And you and I can do the same thing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being able to go to the Word of God and see people like Caleb. Father, he was just a man. And the only thing that his tombstone would probably read if he was here today is that he followed the Lord fully. And Father, when we do that, we know that there's a tremendous blessing waiting for us. Not always good news. Maybe it's a giant we have to deal with. But Father, we pray that this man's testimony, that he followed the Lord fully, would be ours. So often in our world, as we talk to one another, we find that we aren't as strong as we used to be, that Corona has really impacted us. But Father, we know in our hearts that Corona is no match for Jesus Christ. And no communist country is a match for Jesus Christ. And while we may see dangers and we may feel that the world is getting worse, all we're doing is marching toward the position that the Lord Jesus Christ said the world would be in. The last day's perilous time will come. And Father, that just means that he's coming for us. So you could say that we can't lose. And I pray that every one of us here would have the heart of Caleb, and that we would really believe in our Lord, and we would follow him fully. And we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.